All right, how you doing, people? It's Joel Radio. Welcome to the show. It's a good time to be here at Joel Radio. It's very festive. It's the holiday season. Welcome, people. Joel Fragment. I got a special guest for you today. You were on the Corey and Joel Radio show before. You remember that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. This is a man. This is an important man in Corey and Joel Radio history, in my career. I'll explain why. You don't even remember why, but it's true. So let's get into that.
Kwanzaa?
Yeah. You're ruining the story,
oh,
but that's all right.
Sorry, Joel.
It's Ben Constantine's here. How you doing, Ben?
Hey!
Ben's a great comic. He's been a friend of mine for probably 10 years, as long as I've been doing comedy.
Yeah, thanks, buddy.
Yeah, it's good to have you here. The only time you ever went on the radio with me was we did Kwanzaa Club Bart. I think there was about two winters ago.
No, he did the festival last year.
Oh, that's right. We did the festival. You sat in on that, of course. But a lot of people don't know that the name Kwanzaa was invented by you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ben.
Thank you. Yeah, I got to get that notarized or something.
Yeah, that's you can sue good. Us later for it.
Your Ramadanica didn't work as well.
No, that was no good. But Kwanzaa was great.
There's more friction.
That was the high point of our live radio appearances, me and Corey.
Thanks, man.
That was the show when we decided, yeah, fuck it, we're not doing these anymore. That's when we decided that was it.
Really?
Well, the problem was people talked through the comics.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, we enjoyed being there, and we had a nice crowd. Like, people were there, and they were into the event, and we had a really good lineup of comics, and there was one guy on that show who is a very funny comic who I work with all the time. Kills, and he just literally almost just sat the mic down and said, I'm fucking leaving at one point.
Who was it?
Oh, I don't know if I should say his name.
Oh, okay,
there,
I got
he's
you.
Funny. But it wasn't you. No, I don't want to get into it. But it was like, he's a good guy. He's a good guy, funny comic. But boy, he just, that crowd ate him alive a little bit. And I was like, dude, I mean, so I felt bad. But, that's what you do. We do those live shows. And then no one ever really had done that, you know.
Yeah.
Recording a live stand-up show and on the radio and...
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right.
It's kind of a unique concept.
No one will do it again, I guess.
Probably not. No, not after we fucked that up. Ruined that for everybody.
Yeah. But well, at least it wasn't the name.
No, the name was great. The concept, people went like, oh, yeah. I remember I remember when I pitched that idea, because I called and, you know, kind of booked all the comics.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't tell any of the black guys that it was like a Kwanzaa thing.
Well, you think they wouldn't have come?
Yeah. The Jews, I told it was, you know, the Festival of Lights and Blacks, you know? And they thought it was, you guys, you know, you and Jeff and Nate thought it was funny.
Yeah.
And then I had to call, you know, Crystal P and Keith Ruff and these guys. And I was like, yeah, it's, I'm putting some of the funniest comics together in Detroit. And then they showed up and there were, you know, dreidels and blue and silver. And, you know, I remember the Jack was wearing that horrible jacket with the, do you remember that? I think I have that still here. Let me see. Let me see if I have that. I do.
I remember the you're dressing like an Orthodox Jew.
No, that was Corey.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I'm sorry.
I was the black
what the hell was I thinking?
This is my jacket from the...
Oh, yeah. I don't know why anyone would be offended by that, yeah.
Well, I went to...
That's like right out of Bob Marley's closet. You got the...
You know where that is from?
Did you have a reggae, like a dreadlock wig?
No, I didn't have that, but...
Not a bad thought, though.
I went to Northland to buy that.
Oh, yeah.
So I went right to the...
Some patent leather gym shoes.
I had a do-rag. It was wild. You can see the pictures. If you don't know what we're talking about, if you go through the archives over on joelradio.net, the Kwanzaa show is still up there, so you can listen to that and hear Ben do comedy.
Nobody was mad or anything.
No one was mad about it, but it was just like it was an event that, you know, you do it and... You know, you want the comics to be happy that are doing it.
Yeah.
And it seemed like some of them, you know, were more into it than others. And I felt like I wasted people's time a little bit in that way. And it was kind of like... Yeah, you know, the thing when you do radio in a live setting, people don't give a shit.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, when the comics were up, people were laughing. But then, like, me and Corey would go to talking and you know, we're supposed to be the stars of the show. And we would talk to each other and then everybody else would talk to each other. And it would get very loud and kind of obnoxious. You've seen what happens at, like, when we do the comedy festival and that.
Yeah.
Where people just, you know, they kind of stroll by and it's once in a while you get a drunk and...
It's like doing a dream cruise or something.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. People are... I mean, it looks like it's a major league event if somebody's doing radio from it. But yet nobody really gives a shit to listen to the guy doing the radio, if that makes sense.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like, you know, wow, this must be important. They're broadcasting live from this event. And then they're like...
and they find out what it is.
Yeah, and they're like, no one's really interested in listening to it.
Who the hell is this Joel guy?
Yeah. But I think I'm going to be doing this year's comedy festival next year.
Good.
Which is going to be a good time.
You submit?
It's called Laugh Detroit. And I don't think I submitted to perform.
You got time.
But I'm going to do radio.
Yeah, that's cool.
We have Lewis Black performing. So I'm going to get to interview Lewis.
Sweet, yeah.
And hopefully maybe some of the other guys, Dave Coulier and those guys. So
who else do you know? Lewis?
I got an email for it today. We have another thing to plug. That's why I not really want to spend too much. But Lewis Black is going to be doing two shows. He's appearing at the Royal Oak Music Theater. Where is this thing? I have it here. He's appearing at the Royal Oak Music Theater on March 21st. And then he's hosting the show at the Comedy Castle the following night on the 22nd.
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
So he's hosting one of the festival shows.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
And then Kathleen Madigan is going to be appearing there. And Dave Coulier and Haywood Banks are all going to be appearing. So
that's cool over there.
Yeah. So they got some big names this year. So it'll be fun to actually go over there. I'm going to do radio from that, I think, again. And that. But the big thing we got to talk about this week is our show this coming up Saturday night, the 19th.
Palace, baby.
Palace of Auburn Hills, Laugh-A-Palooza, myself, Ben Constantine, Dwayne Gill.
Bill Squire,
and a guy named Dan Greeter.
You got it.
So it's going to be a good show.
You ever work with Dan before?
I've worked with Dan. We did a Meadowbrook Music Festival show.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Before. Yeah. And, you know, Dan's a national headliner, tours all over. Yourself, local guy. You know,
trying to branch out,
but certainly one of the more creative, funnier,
thanks, man,
original comics on the scene, without question.
Thanks, same.
And Dwayne Gill from Lansing, the Lansing cop, he's kind of known as.
Mm-hmm. There's like two cops now, you know that?
Oh, there's
Henry.
Who's Henry? Who?
Guy. He's another African American guy, bald.
Oh, I don't know him.
Fits the description of Dwayne, except he's not Dwayne.
Oh, that's got to suck for Dwayne.
Yeah, I don't even know if Dwayne knows yet.
Oh, really?
Henry's just starting out, actually. He's pretty funny. I worked with him in Ann Arbor.
Fighting for work.
Yeah, actually. Yeah, they got the same hook.
Oh, do they? Well, thank God you and I are different enough.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
I've been fighting for gigs with Corey, but I think I won that.
One of them might have to be a fireman or something. Or a nurse.
A fireman? We have Keith Pelt, the fire cop.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Does he still? I haven't seen
him. About the other guy, Ross Amakuchi, the cop?
Yeah, he's not.
I haven't seen Ross in forever. No, Ross. Ross is from Detroit.
Oh,
I forget.
Never mind.
What,
oops,
yeah.
Sorry, no offense to Ross.
Yeah, Ross.
I haven't seen him in a long time.
I haven't seen Ross in forever either. Ross Amakuchi.
I don't know if I've worked with him actually.
Yeah, we've got cops, firemen.
I'm sure he's doing.
We get an Indian. We'll have the Village People of comedy. We'll put them on tour.
Yeah, you're right.
I don't know. Who else do you throw in that group?
You need a construction worker.
Yeah, who's the? We got to have John Tortolot or somebody.
Yeah, yeah, there plumber. You go. Well, since Dalen left, there's one less gig.
Oh,
just kidding,
Dalen.
I'm just kidding.
That's inside stuff. But the Palace is going. The Palace is going to be fun. Though. I'm looking forward to it. I'm the host.
It wasn't a judgment anyway.
No, it's fine, Dalen. Dalen never comes on the show. I invite him every time he's in town.
That's why I said that.
He never comes on
to draw him out.
Fuck him. All right. It should be fun. You know, the Palace is set up. We're not going to... So I was excited thinking it was going to be like Bruce Springsteen. Like I'd go out there and there'd be 20,000 people and they'd all stand up and yell and scream. And now I'm thinking it's going to be a little more subdued than that. But
you know what? 20, you know, whatever they get.
Couple, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000.
Yeah, that's still a big crowd, you know, compared to, you know, 12 people at...
oh, God.
You know, at Thunderbolt Lane.
Yeah, I know.
So, but for the audience, it'll be great. Actually.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a real good show. I hope everyone can come out. In fact, if you go over to joelradio.net, I've got all the information up there. I've got a link to Ticketmaster. I've got the full link to PalaceNet and the whole lineup of everybody. And I've also got a link to a discount coupon you can download. If you print that out, take it to the box office, you'll get in for cheap.
Sweet.
I think it's $15 or $10. There's a couple different tickets you could buy.
Yeah, cool, man.
So go on joelradio.net and save yourself some money. Bring it to the box office and... come see us. It's going to be good.
Sweet.
Yeah. But is that the biggest venue you've done? Is that what you'd say?
Yep. I did, like Joe and I were discussing off air, I did Meadowbrook twice.
Okay.
No, three times.
Mm-hmm.
And then DTE once.
Okay.
DTE, though it was bigger, there were less people. There was a lot of people in the picnic area.
Oh, okay.
And there was not that... I was opening to this... The laser light showed it. It sounds like Pink Floyd. It wasn't my best gig ever.
Yeah, that's a tough gig, man.
Yeah, they weren't like in love with Ben Constantine.
They're there to see laser lights.
They're not there to see.
And some, then there's you and hear Pink Floyd, and then you come out.
Yeah,
and that's, yeah, that's got to be a little odd.
Yeah, and performing in front of a bunch of people getting high like, and eating.
And you're probably on during the daylight. And
yeah,
they're waiting
was.
For the laser light show.
Eating bologna
and it's broad
sandwiches.
Daylight.
There was no one in the pavilion.
Yeah.
And I'm screaming to the picnic area, which doesn't do a lot
so,
to your act.
So they're what, 200 yards away pretty much?
At least. Yeah, there was a couple of end zones away. It was pretty fun.
Yeah, it's the DTE is the big sort of outdoor amphitheater. Meadowbrook is the smaller amphitheater, still a big place.
Yeah.
Probably seats like, I don't know, 3,000 maybe,
yeah.
4,000 when it's
yeah.
full. DTE holds, I think, about 8,000 or 9,000 when it's full.
Yeah.
But this
monstrous.
It has this giant hill, the picnic area Ben's talking about. And it's so far away. There's got to be 40 rows of actual seats, 50 rows of actual seats.
I couldn't see
before
it.
You get into the actual.
More than I could count.
Yeah, so it's like 50 rows of empty seats. And then now, when the laser light show happens, where are the lights? Are the lights on stage? Are the lights out in the lawn? Where are the lights?
I left. I was on 75.
Oh, really? Depressed enough?
It wasn't the best. But just to
get your check and go?
Well, yeah, kind of. Yeah. It didn't have the best ending. I think I cut it shorter here. But just to, you know what? It's which actually goes to show, as you know, like how the venue is actually really important for comedy.
It is, yeah.
But as a better example and to lead into our show this weekend, like, and you've done a lot. I know you've done a bunch of Meadowbrooks and done a lot of clubs.
Yeah.
I did one of the Meadowbrook shows I did. I opened for Dimitri Martin.
Okay.
And now Dimitri's a comic, and obviously, and his style is not, you know, it's not necessarily like mine, but it's not so different.
Right.
That if people love Dimitri, they'd hate me.
Yeah.
As opposed to Laser Light Show.
Yeah.
Hating me.
Yeah, they don't want to see you.
Yeah, so I'm there for Dimitri. I'm there opening for Dimitri, and it was like a tornado warning. I mean, it was one of the worst weather in
the last
3 years. And so they had 25 people packed, and they're there for comedy.
Yeah.
Which was awesome.
Yeah.
And I'm ready to go on, and they go, you know, Dimitri's plane hasn't landed. How much time can you do?
Yeah.
I'm serious.
Oh, that's good.
It was awesome. So I did like maybe like between 30 and 35 cold, but it was it was killer because they're there for comedy.
Yeah.
And so that's like the spectrum of you know, good show, bad show.
Yeah, if they're there for comedy, that's the thing. Tonight, this weekend's gonna be so great because they're all there for comedy. They're not even there to see like a real big name where that can work against
you. Yeah, exactly.
You know, if you're opening for like Dane Cook or something, they're probably not maybe gonna be all that. Dimitri Martin fans maybe a little more accepting. But if you were there opening for like a real big, you know, Cat Williams or somebody, or you know, Dane Cook, where you have this kind of you know, they might not even be into the opener as much. But
there,
we're not really with a big name. No offense to the other guys, but
no.
You know, it's
good comics.
It's what do you call it? It's an ensemble cast. It's a you know,
yeah,
it's five guys who are all funny, and you know, it'll be a good time. I'm the first guy out the gate, which should be interesting. You know, I have a feeling there's not going to be as big a crowd for me because I've been a first guy.
I'll be supporting you, Joel.
Yeah, well, thank you. You'll be out there. Hey!
But you're good. In all seriousness, I mean, you do that well, which is a skill to it.
I do an MC well. I can go out cold and get people
and
laughing.
Talk to people.
Because I'm funny.
Cuff.
Yeah. And I get to do, they've booked it where I get time in between comics. That's always a little,
that's good, yeah.
That can be good or bad.
You know what? I compare it to like a New Yorker and LA show. Because, you know, like most of the clubs in the country, it's a three-man show, or if the club doesn't pay well, it's a two-man show.
Yeah.
And so you got both guys doing a significant amount of time.
Yeah.
And what's kind of cool about, you know, this, not just to plug it, but actually it's fun for the comics and for the audience, is you got four or five comics doing a little bit less time, but you got more variety.
Yeah.
So say, you know, you might like all five of us, but say you hate one of us.
Yeah.
Well, then you get the next guy.
Yeah, you just wait. You don't have to sit there for an hour if the guy sucks, so you don't have to get up and leave.
It's like a buffet instead of just like one, you know, entree that you didn't like.
Yeah, that's true.
You know? So it's kind of fun. Like, you know, you've been to New York and LA. You watch. It's kind of a more fun show to watch. But
yeah, it's different than what we have in sort of the Midwest, where it's it's sort of front. It's I don't know if it's back loaded or front loaded. It's the headliner is kind of the guy it's you're there to see.
More stretch.
And sometimes you know you'll have a guy that's been doing comedy for 25 years, and the guy opening's been doing it for like 3 months.
Yeah.
And you'll have this kind of disparity between the middle and the beginning and the end. And with something like the show we're doing this weekend, it's going to be just solid from beginning to end. I mean, I've been doing it 10 years. I don't know. You've been in it longer than I have.
Yeah, a little bit.
So then, you know, and you go all the way up to Dan Greeter, who's been in it for, you know, you've probably been longer than both of us.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it should be a good time. I want everybody to come out. If you're listening to this, if you've, you know, because a lot of people that I do this show, you know, they don't come. Because some of the times I don't even promote the live shows I do on this show. Which is probably a bad idea, but I'm like,
I haven't seen you in a while.
Well, you know what? I go like, do you want to come to a bowling alley in Traverse City on a Thursday night and watch me do comedy? No, you know? So I kind of wait for the big shows and then promote those heavier, if that makes sense.
I know what you mean, actually, because, you know, it starts to get like saturated. You know, saturated people. You know, you hear about it every week.
Yeah.
It's like, but this is one to hit up, you know.
Yeah, this is one that, if you're only going to come once to see me, come to this one, you know, and we'll go from there. You know, if you like it, then you come back some other time. Because I have, like, family. Like, I have a lot of family coming out to the show this weekend.
Yeah.
But some of them, you know, they saw me maybe in, like, 2002.
That's a long time.
And they'll
comedy.
Be like, yeah, I saw you. It was good. I'm like, it was 2002.
You were doing comedy 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, it was like, it was 2002, man. Dude. I mean, it's like, it's not the exact same thing.
No.
But people feel like it's going to be the exact same show, and it's not. It's a new show, and it's every venue makes the show different. The guys you work with makes the show different. So I always tell people, it's like, even if you saw it, you know, if you didn't see it last week, you know, it's going to be different on some level. You know, it's not.
Some people's acts are pretty much the same, though, but...
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. But nobody sure. That night, though.
No, that night, you're going to get some good guys. You're going to get some good variety.
Yeah, guys. Yeah,
but
sure.
Yeah, because, you know, I do these shows, and, like I did one, and I'm going to badmouth it only because, you know, it's not around anymore.
Oh, yeah.
But I was at the show, and it sounds great to say I played at this place, but I was playing at the... I did the MGM Casino downtown a few months ago.
They're not around. I didn't even know they closed.
Well, yeah, there was a gig there. Apparently, it's not there anymore, is what I've heard. But so I'm doing this gig, and it was very last minute. I literally think I got a call that afternoon to go do it. It was a weeknight. I think it was a Wednesday night. And I said, okay, I'll come down. And the money was good for a weeknight. You know, casino gigs generally play good. So I show up, and it's like the kind of the loser's lounge. You know, it's like a free show. It's in the bar that you don't have to pay admission to see the comedy show. You can just sit down and have a drink, and it's, you know, the club is pretty much on the gaming floor, you would say. It's not in the midst of the gaming floor, but it's...
Oh, my God.
It's like a, you know, it's only separated by, like, a little path for people to walk. It's basically, you can hear slot machines and stuff.
I was just going to say, yeah, like old ladies.
And so, yeah, and I go, and I've done those before. There's a real infamous one up near Escanaba, Michigan that a lot of us have done. You've probably done it. And that one was legendary for being like just the worst gig because it was right on the gaming floor. And this one was better than that as far as the setup, but I knew it wasn't going to be great. So I go, look, I'm at the MGM. At least I can tell people I paid MGM.
Yeah, it sounds good.
Even if it sucks, you know. And I go, look, well, no one will see this. But I was happy that I go there, and I go, it'd be nice to have people there, but I don't really want anyone I know to see this, you know.
Yeah.
And then I'm getting ready to do the show, and I go, is the mic set up? And Bill Bouchard was working with me, and he goes, yeah, there's a guy walking around doing the PA. He said, talk to him if you got any questions. I said, yeah, I got to make sure the PA is good. I want to talk to that guy. So I see the guy who's setting up the PA, and it's my friend Brian I haven't seen in like 10 years. My friend Brian is a musician and a recording engineer, and apparently he got this gig at MGM just a couple months ago. It's a real nice gig for him. And he goes, oh, my God, I can't believe you're doing comedy here. And I go, yeah. I go, well, I go, you know, I don't think it's going to be a very good show. And he goes, oh, I'm going to watch the whole thing. And I go, you know, feel free to do some of your other work. Don't let me keep you from that. <You know? laughs> So awesome. I go up, and, you know, like I said, I haven't seen this guy. Maybe 10 years is an exaggeration, but like 7, 8 years, you know. He'd never seen me do comedy. And I went up, and there were about 6 people watching the show. It was the biggest fucking bomb you've ever seen.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, they told me to work clean, and that doesn't really work
like
for me.
Like it mattered.
Either. Yeah, and I just, this guy's watching me die, and I'm like, oh,
you're the
fuck,
only one who's
man.
Ever been told to work clean in one of those casino.
Yeah. You just go, well.
Not against you, but.
Yeah, they tell you to work clean because people are gambling. It's like, you know.
That's what I mean.
This casino is reaching into people's pockets and stealing their fucking money with the game. But if I say fuck, they're going to get pissed off. They're going to be offended by that. You just spent your whole fucking Social Security check in the slot machine. But yet I'm the offensive one because I talked about my penis. Fuck you.
Yeah, you're going to be drowned out by all the other people saying fuck when yeah. you're losing money.
Yeah, I know. So that was just an example of a show that, you know.
That's funny, though.
That's one I won't promote, you know, because I just know that's going to be death. But, you know, that's something I did recently. You know, I
did a bowling. I don't know if you remember. I can't remember what it was called. There was this bowling alley gig. I probably drove 2 hours just through corn.
Really?
Just through, like,
what state was it in?
It was in Michigan, but and it was like me and Mike Green. It was when I first started.
Yeah.
And you know, Mike's a great comic, and Mike was actually the middle. But I mean, it was in a bowling alley.
Yeah.
But not the way that place in Waterford was.
Where we're in the basement of the bowling alley. Yeah, it was a bar.
There was people bowling.
Were you on the lanes?
We were on the back of the lanes.
Oh, okay.
But you could hear balls hitting pins. And it was a disco, too. They had strobe lights.
Yeah.
They got the strobe lights. It was a combination of strobe lights and bowling. It was Mike Green and Ed Fiala.
Yeah, I don't know who that
you know
is.
Him? He's out of Chicago. Big,
no.
Really nice guy. Really funny, too. But, yeah. And I had, like, this friend who just came with me just to come with me.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was probably 27, 28 or something. And my friend, like, forgot his ID.
Oh, God.
They would have let him in.
Oh, man.
And I go, well, I'm the MC. The guy's like, ooh. Yeah.
way to pull your weight around there, yeah, in
exactly.
The MC.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm the guy that gets to, you know, read off what lanes are available.
Yeah, really.
I think they let him in, though. He promised not to drink.
Yeah, that's those gigs are weird, man. Sometimes
that's how you grow, sort of.
I went up, like I said, I went to Northern Michigan a couple weeks ago.
Cool.
Did two shows with a fabulous headliner, a guy named Larry Reeb. I don't know if you know.
Oh, Larry Reeb's great.
But one of the odd, I mean, guy's been
Uncle
around
Lair.
25 years, Uncle Lair from Chicago, been on HBO. He did. I think he did the original, like the Young Comedian special that Tim Allen did and Ray Romano. You
yeah,
know,
like
he was on
89
that.
Or 90?
Yeah, and you know, so guy's got a real good resume. We did two shows for a combined total of about 40 people.
Wow.
Over two nights, and it was just so depressing. And it was like, you know, and then I took a lot of shit because like I got a call from the booker saying that somebody made fun of the room. Like, they made fun of the venue where we were playing in that was completely empty.
Isn't it a comedy show?
And the guy was upset because not only did he lose money, but the comics insulted him on stage. And it was like, I'm getting all, you know, and there's more than one phone call I took from a booker. And I go, you know, I'm taking a lot of shit for a gig that, you know, really sucked. And, you know, I did my part. The guy who's running the show didn't do his part by promoting it and drawing the audience.
That's crazy.
And it's like, you know, what a bunch of crap, you know?
Just making fun of the room is making jokes on the fly.
Yeah, it's a staple of comedy.
It's part of, yeah, it's.
But some people don't get it because they're, you know, they feel like, I don't know, it's just
like,
a weird thing.
Like they
thing.
Wouldn't see it without you pointing it out or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, like the audience thinks they're in this great place and all of a sudden
yeah,
they realize, holy shit, we're in a bowling alley. Where yeah. are we? You know?
They thought you were Madison Square Garden or the Palace.
Yeah, they thought, yeah. Yeah, they thought they were, yeah. They thought it was Radio City Music Hall for a minute. They didn't realize, you know, that there was a nacho machine in the corner and people were bowling.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
Yeah, people get so weird, man. It's like, you know, comics just want, I think when you show up to do a show, though, you just want, you know, to be, have it set up well because, you know, comics can walk into a room and say, you know, an hour before showtime and go, this is going to be good or this is going to be bad.
Yeah.
You sort of get that, you get that sixth sense.
Yeah, exactly.
Uh-huh.
That's really true. I mean, most of the time, you know, it's one of the, like, little things you learn as you and I both know. But, like, if people aren't there for comedy,
yeah,
it doesn't make for a good comedy
yeah.
show.
Yeah, you can't just force it on them.
Yeah, you could be a musician and be background music.
Uh-huh.
No offense to musician, but literally, people yeah. could still kind of enjoy it and have their conversation. Or
yeah.
You can't be doing jokes. You
yeah.
know? Hey, two Jews walk into a bar or whatever, and you're, you know, people, some guy's hitting on some chick. I mean, you got to have a little bit yeah. of a focus. Hence, yeah. the spotlight.
Yeah.
So your yeah, eyes well, are drawn
it's
to
a
the stage.
You know, a comedy show is, you know, it's not a, you know, you tell jokes and you want that reaction. It's sort of a little bit of teamwork. You know, you tell your jokes, the audience laughs, you play off the laughter, there's timing. And when people aren't laughing or people aren't paying attention, it's just, it's not the same.
Yeah.
It's not like putting on, like, a CD of, like, a Richard Pryor CD and going, you know, people could listen to it or not listen to it. It's a real live person up there. You know, it's
to us, maybe,
you know, and a lot of times people put comedy shows because, like, the guy who's running it likes comedy. And then, you know, he just wants to watch comics.
Yeah.
And so he just says, ah, whatever. He doesn't care.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah. I did one of those over the summer. And actually, it could have been great. It just that it was because, you know, it was a really nice place, but it was a little restaurant. And they were new. They hadn't run comedy clubs. They'd run restaurants, and that was their experience.
Yeah.
So I'm coming up there. First of all, people were still eating dinner.
Yeah, that's always bad.
Which the worst part about that was a lot of them had their backs to you.
That's another thing they do, yeah.
And then they had, like, all these eight-year-old kids, and I'm like, do you want me to do my normal act?
Yeah,
I mean, I'm not that I'm, like, the dirtiest guy ever, but I don't have an act for an eight-year-old.
Yeah.
At least I didn't, you know, it's not what we're planning.
Yeah. Right.
And a little thing, like, you know, they seat people in the back again, so, like, you know, the earlier medical store, you're yelling to the back of the room. The county doesn't work where you have to, hey, you!
Yeah.
Guess what happened to me? I said.
Yeah, it's bad because they put you in the round table, so half the people got their back to you. Yeah. Then they got a kid in the crowd, and you're like, you know. And the parents will say, like, I've done that. We're like, there's a kid, and I'll go up to the parents. I go, look, you know, show's for adults. There's some, you know. Some rough language in here. Maybe you should, you know, take your kid out of here. Go, oh, my kid has cable. He hears everything. It's not offensive. But then you don't realize that it's other people in the crowd get uptight because I'm telling dick jokes in front of, you know,
yeah,
a kid.
True.
And you want to just go, well, the mom told me I could talk about jacking off. It's really not a problem.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Actually.
I'm going to talk about fucking the chick up the ass, but the six-year-old's mom said it was all right for me to do this. So if you don't mind... Yeah, you know, it's like, you know, and you feel like an asshole.
Yeah.
It's like, just get the kid out of the room. It's not appropriate for you to be there.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, it's funny is like, we're talking about like the best and the worst. It's like, you can have that in 1 week. You know, like, as soon as you start to think, hey, I'm doing all right here. You're doing this gigantic venue. Then the next day, you're back in the bowling alley.
Yeah.
Well, it's all good, though.
I did a nice venue upside because I don't want to sit here and bitch about comedy. Because
no.
It sounds like
it's
people
more like
have wrote
just
me.
For fun.
Yeah, and they go, oh, you guys bitch, and you guys are a bunch of bitter assholes, and you're not famous, and all this and stuff.
Really?
But I did a great, I did a good venue over the weekend. I'll even give it a plug. I did a place in Middlebury, Indiana, which sounds like death. And I
you
show
never
up,
know, right?
Middlebury, Indiana. I go, I don't know, but the booker specifically asked for me, so I'm thinking like the booker must have heard good things about me or something. They specifically asked, you know, because a lot of times you get these gigs and they just mass email people and you tell them what you're available for, and they don't really seem. It's kind of like random, you know.
Yeah, well, how'd it turn out?
Seems like so I go to this Middlebury and they go, well, we don't have a hotel room for you in Middlebury. You got to stay in the next town over. Which immediately I'm thinking this is bad. So I got a hotel room in Shipshawana, Indiana.
Did you say it like that on purpose?
Shipshawana. That's the name of it.
Really pronounced.
Shipshawana, Indiana. And I didn't know what Shipshawana was. So I bring my girlfriend with me. We'll go to Shipshawana.
You got to have a speech impediment to get
Shipshawana,
in.
Yeah. But Shipshawana is a big tourist attraction. It's almost like... It's Amish country.
Oh, okay.
And it's almost like, you know, like we have Frankenmuth in Michigan.
Yeah.
Where we have like a lot of crafts and antique and that kind of stuff.
Fried chicken.
Little downtown, and they have those restaurants and all these resort hotels. Well, it's like that.
Cool. That's nice.
So Shipshawana, Indiana, I get there and I go, oh, this is kind of cool. And there's literally Amish guys on the road on their carts and stuff. And I go, this is kind of, it's like all over.
Oh my God.
And then I have to drive about, you know, 10 miles to Middlebury to go to this gig at place called Rulli's, an Italian restaurant, you know. So I'm literally following Amish buggies to this restaurant. I get to the venue, and I go, well, an Italian restaurant, that doesn't sound like that's going to be good for comedy. People are going to be eating. Turns out this guy's got, like, a bar in the back, like, for, like, rock and roll bands. And that's where we're going to be set up. I get in there, and the guy goes, I get in there, and I go, wow, man, you're busy tonight. He says, yeah. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, my girlfriend needs a seat. Can you just, you know. Put her somewhere she wants. She goes, I don't have one seat available in this room.
Wow.
It's jammed, like 120
Shipshawana,
people packed
man.
In Middlebury, Indiana. Yeah, Rulli's. And I go, oh, shit, really? And he goes, yeah, we don't have anything. So my girlfriend had to sit on like a speaker.
On the stage?
Yeah, like on the side of the stage on like a speaker to watch. And I went up there and it was great. They had to put, they actually had a closed circuit television feed of the show in another room for people to watch because it was so busy.
That's awesome.
It was crazy. It was amazing.
That's awesome.
And I was like, wow, I expected a bunch of nothing here.
Never know,
I'm
man.
Going to an Italian restaurant in Amish country. It sounds like death. And it was great, so I ain't bitching about that, you know?
You know what? I did, this sounds like the beginning of a joke, but you just remind me. I did a Jehovah's Witness wedding. And I swear, I'm not kidding.
A wedding?
Yeah, yeah, a Jehovah's Witness wedding. I mean, and there's not like, okay, ba-dum-bum. It was,
yeah.
I used to work in advertising, and one of my creative directors, one of my bosses, was happened to be Jehovah's Witness. You know, he's
oh
cool guy, and he's like, hey, you know, my son's getting married. You want to work the wedding?
I'm like, well, the reception.
Is there anything special? Or, yeah, he's like, just do what you do, but just be 100% clean.
Oh, okay.
And it was great.
Yeah?
I was the whole show. To the
really?
Show. You know,
so what's the program? Is there a dinner? What, where are you at? Is there a DJ? Is there a band?
They just had like a little banquet room and, okay. You know, and like a club, a country club type place. Yeah. And, you know, they had like 30 people eating dinner, and I did like 25 minutes.
Okay.
So, but it's not, the story kind of ends there, but.
No, just, that's an interesting venue. Yeah,
yeah, the setup is the funny part. Like, who knew?
Yeah, that's a weird thing. You wouldn't think you'd do well there, but.
Not exactly.
You know.
You never know. Something. I did the other Meadowbrook time, which was, is still better than the, Laser Light Show, is I opened for Lone Star. Have you ever heard of them?
They're a country band, I'm guessing.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah. I guess they're big, and I'm not anti-country or anything. You know? No, seriously, I'm not. It's just, I don't think my act goes with it.
I wouldn't think a guy like, yeah, I mean.
No, but I mean, like, I don't, but it was like real straw hat.
Yeah.
And like tractors in the parking lot, which it's not even a judgment. It's just, I just, like, why would they think that I would do well?
Right.
But you know what? It was like half the crowd dug it.
Yeah.
But then the other half had no idea that I was on stage.
But do they sit there and are they at least quiet or are they, they're not heckling? Or
no
they,
heckling, no.
Yeah, see, that's good. If they're not heckling, that's okay.
Yeah, yeah, and you know what?
Because if you have a big crowd and they're half laughing, that's still 1,000 people or something
exactly.
That enjoying it, and that's good.
That's the thing that you think about the big venues, actually. It's like, you know, if they have 1,000 or 2,000, if half the people dig you,
yeah,
that's still a pretty good crowd.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, because you might get 12 even. You know, sometimes you get like I don't know, 12 usually sucks no matter what.
12 people is pretty bad. Yeah,
but sometimes with 20, if they like you,
if they like
it could
yeah.
be not too bad.
Yeah.
You know? Of course, the more time you do, it's a little bit harder because there's not like the built-in pause time for laughter because you might be killing. And it's still...
That's the thing. At the Palace, you know, you got to give it a second for the sound to travel to the other side of the venue before you... I mean, literally, there is that thing where, like, you do a joke and there's a delay in the laughter. It's a very weird dynamic at some of these big venues.
You
got
to get used to it, too.
Yeah,
which, yeah, that'll be cool. Yeah, I hope... Yeah, it'll be a good show, tell you guys. Actually, I do know... I know all the comics. One of them I actually haven't worked with, but between you, me, and... Dan and Dwayne, all real funny guys, and I'm sure Bill is funny. I just haven't met him, but all good
stuff. Yeah, it's gonna be a good show this weekend. So I want you all to come out, support Ben, support me.
Opening for the Pistons, I think.
Yeah, are we really?
Nah, just kidding. Automotion.
Are they gonna come out? Are
the
they gonna
spare tires? I think.
Are we gonna come out to like tires? You know? Y'all ready for this? Ben. Ben Constantine. Are you going to get that? You should ask for that.
I should ask
you
for
should
that.
You should call Derek and ask him.
I'm going to send
see
him
if,
an email.
See if Mason will. Does Mason
That's
still
hilarious.
Do that?
Yeah.
Oh, Mason still calls the...
I haven't been to a game in a little bit, but yeah, I'm sure. I think he still does do that.
But I'll tell you what. I'm going to be introducing you, actually.
Actually, do you mind?
I could do it.
Yeah, you do that.
We
got to
do it. We got to go over it. Coming up Ben.
I should wear my Ben Wallace jersey, actually. That'd be hilarious. I'll wear a fro
with it. Be fro
but Jesus Ben doesn't God. Have a fro anymore.
So aren't you glad we're doing this now? We're going to make the show better.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, we're creative meeting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is our pre-pro.
Ben
actually, yeah, that's hilarious. That's fun. That's fun stuff, man. It would be fun. I wonder if we could get any Piston tickets out of it or anything like that.
I don't know. See, I've known Derek for a while because I've you know the guy who books all this stuff. And I want to
nice
ask him.
Guy.
Yeah, real nice guy. I almost asked him for Springsteen tickets, but I ended up working the Springsteen concert. Night,
oh, really?
So, yeah. Because I was like, God, if I could get one favor, that would be the one I would want, you know?
Have you ever gotten any? Is it okay?
No, I've never asked him.
Me neither.
That's what I'm afraid to ask him.
Yeah, me too.
But I'm sure there's probably, you know, some circus that's coming to town where they're giving tickets away, where it's like, you can give it whatever the fuck you want, you know what I mean?
Hey, Joe. I don't have any Springsteen, but how about Cirque du Soleil?
Yeah, I got the. Yeah,
nah, they're not great seats, yeah. But
I've got the Smucker's Ice Dancing Stars tour. You want that?
Yeah,
I'll put you right down front. Yeah, thanks.
Sesame Street, I like. Yeah, that's funny.
We got Monster Trucks next week. You want to take your girl to that? I don't have.
Grover's an asshole in real life.
Is he really? That son of a bitch.
Well, I could swear. I heard you.
You can swear on this show. You can say whatever the fuck you want. That's it's Joel Radio, baby.
That's what I figured.
I'm the only one. I'm the only one that has any say in what goes on here.
It's good stuff, man.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're here, man.
Thanks,
it's been a while since you've been in here. Anything else going on with you, man? Any comedy? The comedy stuff. I know it's going good for you. Are you on the? I don't want to get this wrong. Are you doing that Dick Pertin show?
Yeah, I am.
Well, that's a big deal.
I am. Yeah, actually, I'll plug that. It's the same kind of setup because there's like seven comics.
That's the following night, isn't that Sunday night?
Yep, this Sunday the 20th. And the thing is, the whole thing, it's called Jingle Jokes for Kids.
Yeah.
You could find it either on comedycastle.com or if you just probably Google Dick Pertin's Jingle Jokes for Kids. But the whole thing is benefit for children's hospital.
Yeah. Okay.
So it'll be a great show, but
that's
it's also
a charity thing.
Yeah, truly.
You'll have a nice crowd for that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Dick's Dick's, for those of you who don't know, in Detroit, Dick Pertin is this legendary morning guy, morning radio talk show host for a long time. And he raises money for various charities, and this is one of his things that he does. So.
Have you ever met him? Have you ever worked with him?
I've never actually met him. I did sit at a restaurant at the next table to him not too long ago.
That's the same
and
thing.
I've been in his studio because I knew the overnight guy at OMC. And I would go hang out in his studio. So I went there, and it's Dick's studio.
Oh, really?
So I was in his studio. Yeah. Well, no, I mean, it's in the same building.
Oh, okay.
But there's the one studio that Dick does, and he has this whole... He has a real nice radio studio. And but, you know, the guy that was working overnights is in there by himself. But you can see his whole setup there. A very, very nice setup. So I never actually met Dick. I should...
Me neither. I heard he's a super nice guy.
Yeah, I've heard
too.
He's a nice guy. So,
yeah.
I don't know that if it was a Dick Pertin radio, like, the thing about that, like, I'm not on that show, and I think I'd be a little too dirty for maybe Dick Pertin radio fans.
Yeah, pretty PG.
They're trying to keep it clean, I'm guessing.
Because they're going to be actually kids in the audience.
Oh, are there really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is fine, because it's like, it's not like that restaurant describing. It's like, going in. It's,
right.
I did this show in L.A., and I was lucky to get on it. This great club was really fun. And they told us before, and they said, now this is for, the whole audience is going to be teenagers. It was some kind of like camp kids night.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so everyone was 14 to 17, but it was wild. One of the comics, I don't think I want to say who he is. He's kind of known, actually. He went nuts. Like, one of the kids, seriously, one of the kids made just the most mild, it wasn't even a heckle, it just made like a remark.
Yeah.
It was so mild, you know? And this guy went... Don't you know who I am, you little motherfucker? And everyone was laughing, but I'm like, this guy, he's got a... I could tell he was serious.
Oh.
Maybe I don't know good this because I don't want to say who.
Well, you tell me off the air. I want to hear that.
Off the air.
But he went off on this kid, huh?
I'll put it this way. It's a guy who is not a famous comic, but a co-creator of a famous, somewhat known show.
All right. Wow.
So whatever. Well, younger guy, but...
Jeez.
Yeah.
That's wild, man.
But yeah, but it was kind of funny.
Yeah.
But the crowd was good, though. Even at 14 to 17,
they get some things, yeah.
Yeah, for the most part.
It doesn't have to all be fart jokes or something. Like, they'll actually get some...
No.
They'll understand
some
references.
Not as much as usual, anyway. But, so yeah, that's... Are you doing... there's an Ann Arbor thing... January 2nd, I'm doing that. I know it's another, like, a lineup.
Yeah, I don't think I'm doing that. I'm not booked for that.
January 2nd, I know Bouchard's doing it. I think Nate Fritzen.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's a handful of guys, so.
It's quite a lineup.
Come on out, Joel. Come on out.
I don't know what I'm doing January 2nd.
If you're in the neighborhood.
Yeah, maybe I will, man. My booking is very light for next year. I'll tell you that much.
I'm busy.
I'm not really booked much, but shit'll come together.
Do you ever take this on the road?
The show?
Yeah.
We did it, me and Steve Sabo, we set up in the hotel a couple weeks ago. We were on the road.
Oh, okay, cool.
We were up in Gaylord, Michigan, and we did a show with about eight people.
Really?
And then we sat in the hotel room, and it was actually a weird show because Sabo's the booker of the show.
Yeah, and a funny guy.
And a funny guy. But, you know, we do eight people, and he comes back, and I go, look, I do my set, which was okay for eight people. It was an eight-man show, eight people. And then I go back to the hotel room. Then he comes back. I don't even watch his show because I'm setting up for my, the radio thing. And I bring all this equipment we have here, the mics, the mixing board, and all this stuff up to the, Gaylord. And he comes in and tells me how bad I was. On the radio, yeah.
Was he serious?
Well, I mean, just to sum it up, he said, he said, on a scale of 1 to 10, my show was a 3. That sounds like an insult. You?
He's heckling you?
No, but he's telling me that on the radio. He's telling everybody on the radio. He goes, yeah, on a scale of 10, you were like a 3. And I go, dude, I got an applause break with 8 people.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think the whole show was great, but I mean, I got like... You know what I mean?
Yeah, what are you going to do?
I go, what do you want? What the fuck do you want? It's 8 people. I'm opening.
7 of them liked you.
There's nobody in front of me. It's a little fucking restaurant. It's not even a thing. And there's 8 people. And you're going, I get a 3 out of 10. What the fuck is that?
So what did he, how did he
I don't know. What did he claims he did a 6. Which is still twice as good as me. And I didn't see his show, so I can't comment, you know?
No.
And look, Steve's a funny guy. I'm not saying Steve can't be funny, but. I mean, give me a fucking break. You got 8 people there.
Yeah, you don't.
And all of a sudden, I suck?
I've never really...
Aren't you the promoter of the show when there's 8 people?
I've never really...
If anybody's not doing their job, it's you, motherfucker. Right?
Yeah.
In a way. You could probably blame more the guy who has the venue than Steve, but still.
Come on. He's a comic. He knows anyway.
I know.
Once in a while, you're not
It feels bad.
You're gonna hit it.
Yeah.
I've never had had another comic... Give me shit. I'm sure they might.
Well, I asked him. We're on the radio. Okay. It's like this. And I asked his honest opinion. And he goes, you're a 3 out of 10. And I go, you motherfucker. Like, what am I? You know, it's my show, you dick.
That's crazy.
Insulting me. Steve's my buddy. I love Steve. Yeah. I bet we do UFC picks every week. In fact, Steve kicked my ass last week.
You guys make picks?
And we pick the UFC fights. You ever watch UFC?
Occasionally.
Yeah, we make picks about who's going to win.
I've seen more of that Kimbo Slice street brawls on YouTube.
Well, he's in UFC.
I know.
He fought last week. Yeah.
How's he doing?
He won, but he's not looking great.
It's more just like he's crazy looking in his story, isn't it?
He's crazy looking, but a lot of these guys who are these like, you know, a lot of these guys
offend him, but
well, a lot of these guys that fight are, you know, NCAA wrestlers and
yeah, they've had more experience.
And you know, they come in and they got good technique and they can take this guy down and beat on him. But he won the other day. He won a couple, you know, whatever that was last Saturday night.
That's cool.
So
did you know one thing though, did you notice his beard is catching on?
And people are growing the giant
beard. Yeah, the giant. Did you notice?
No, I haven't.
Randy Moss has that beard.
Oh, does he really?
Yeah, Baron Davis has that beard. I don't know. It's kind of funny, but I'm like,
really?
It came from Kimbo and it's like Kimbo. A homeless look.
It is a homeless look. Sort of would that not be a Muslim look too, kinda? I mean, I don't think Kimbo's a Muslim, but
I don't know. I think he just created it. He isn't original. I mean, he's an entertaining guy too.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't want to offend him or anything. But yeah, right. I think he did create it because
that's the new look for guys, black guys.
Yeah, the beard. I don't think the beard goes with the home.
I like black people think that we're not afraid of them enough as it is. Now they got to grow a giant beard.
Yeah.
I'm afraid of you. You know what
like
I mean?
Kimbo Slice. Yeah.
Yeah, it's okay. You know, just you don't need to grow a giant beard.
That's funny.
I'm scared already. You know what are you doing? I don't want to be racist or anything, but you know.
I don't think that was.
It's not racist.
Okay. Not to me.
Some people accuse me of being racist.
Really? I think you just say jokes to everybody.
Sure, I make fun of everybody. I'm Italian. I make fun of Italians.
Yeah.
I make fun of myself on stage.
Really? It's because I know you too.
Self-deprecating,
you know what I mean?
Stuff. Yeah. I don't. Badmouth. You know.
Yeah,
too many people.
Done anything anti-Semitic.
Not when you're in the room. I make sure not to do those. I make sure not to do those when Ben's around.
Believe me, man.
I'm cutting those out for the palace. I'm scratching those off the list.
There is a, you know, it is a good question, like in comedy, because there is a fine line. Because like when I see Don Rickles, it's like you just know it's just jokes.
Yeah.
But there's also a certain quality of like, He still seems likable.
There's a likability factor.
Yeah, and he just doesn't seem mean. I mean, maybe some people are offended, but I mean, I'm Jewish. He's Jewish. He talks about Jews.
Yeah.
He talks about his wife.
Uh-huh.
He talks about his friends, and the stuff he says about other people don't go farther than that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a thing that I think if you're, because I feel like I make fun of myself a lot. I mean, I make fun of my appearance. I make fun of. Not to give away the whole show.
It just fits right in.
You know, I make fun of the size of my penis. I talk about how I'm overweight and you know.
It's just another...
And I feel like if I'm making fun of myself, I can take a few shots at other people. But, you know, I'm the main focus of my show.
Yeah, you know what's kind of weird? Did you know it's like for years, like for the last 7-8 years, there was a big politically incorrect thing where you couldn't say anything.
Couldn't say anything about anybody.
Well, which I don't think is, you know, which is better than the opposite. It's better to be careful than to...
Yeah.
Than to... But then, there was like this opposite effect. Don't right. you think so? Where you just have certain comics that all of a sudden they're going too far and it's like in vogue.
Oh.
You know, like,
yeah,
you,
maybe.
I mean, Mencia's a little.
Yeah, okay, I know like, what you're saying.
Like Lisa Lampanelli.
Yeah, okay, yeah, sure.
Again, trying to be
critical. Yeah, okay, I know what you're saying.
Because
yeah.
they're both funny.
Yeah.
But it's just funny how the
well,
they
found a way to be the opposite of that and find a.
Yeah.
They latched onto that.
They totally.
But see, when everybody's
that.
Doing that, though, then that's when people get offended. When it's one guy or two guys that are kind of doing it. You know, that's why I feel like comics that like were our level and even, you know, guys that are less experienced. You know, they're like, well, I saw so-and-so do this. And, you know, boy, Doug Stanhope talks about this and stuff. It's like, well, you're not Doug Stanhope.
Yeah, and
you
it's
can't
also
do
the
that.
Way he's handling
yeah,
it,
yeah, there's just a way that people have. And when you're famous, you have a little bit more leeway with people. You
yeah.
know, they're not going to be... Like, if you go to see a Lisa Lampanelli show, you know what you're going to see.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, with you and I, you know, even if they come to the Palace this weekend, it's like, who is this guy? You know, they might not know what they're getting.
Yeah.
You know, they just see Joel Fragmenti. They don't know who I am. You know, Ben Constantine. They see that name and they walk in. Or they don't even maybe see a name. Just see comedy. They go, okay, I'll go see comedy. And they walk in and, you know, they might get me. They might get you. They might get a black guy. They might get a woman. They might get a juggler. Am I going to get a guy playing the guitar? You never know what you're going to get.
I hope not.
Well.
A juggler.
But you never know what you're going to get. It's just comedy on the marquee.
Actually, yeah, you're right, actually.
Could be anything. We know jugglers.
Yeah, you're right, actually.
A juggler.
And good ones, too, actually. Yeah. Yeah, there's one of my
you know, look,
yeah.
a good juggler.
Think about it, yeah.
A good juggler. A great juggler.
He's
still a fucking juggler.
In a while.
You know, yeah. you know what I mean? You're still a juggler. It's still, you know.
Yeah.
If you don't like juggling, I don't care how good you are, you're probably not going to enjoy the juggler.
You're right, man.
Yeah.
I've been I'm glad you made that point because I've been thinking about making that statement for a while.
Yeah.
And I just
about jugglers?
I just
you're finally coming down.
Finally. Saying the unsaid about the jugglers.
You've been holding it in for too long, man. Let it out.
Yeah.
Let the jugglers know.
No, but you know what? There is like I don't know. It's funny though. It's a lot of things that are just the way you handle them and. You know, I guess it's kind of funny because sometimes people are just like afraid to acknowledge that their people might belong to a different culture or something. That's
yeah.
not racist. Racist
no.
means like you're discriminating.
Yeah, we hate you.
It doesn't
you
mean you're
or,
saying
yeah, yeah, yeah,
you're
yeah.
Italian. That doesn't make me
sure.
a racist to call, to call
yeah,
you.
If you point out differences in people, it's okay.
Yeah,
yeah.
Depends how you do it.
Yeah,
that's the beauty of it. That was what Richard Pryor did, you know?
Yeah. And he was the best.
Yeah. Yeah,
Richard got away with a lot of shit, man. But in a way, in a good way. He
yeah,
paved the way so we can do
way.
Shit, you know?
This is my fave.
Yeah.
Pretty much, man.
See, that's the thing about a guy breaking through is that, you know, he'll open doors for other people.
Yeah.
That's what we
yeah.
need. I think we need another door opened. I don't know who's going to do it, but...
Yeah, I know. Who do you think, like, now is, like, breakthrough?
I don't know. I mean, Dane Cook is certainly huge, but I don't think he's real good for comedy.
You know, I honestly have seen him, but
yeah.
I've never seen him do like a long set. I only see him in little clips.
Yeah.
He's funny. You know what I mean? It's hard to for me to...
But my feeling with Dan Cook is this. Like Richard Pryor, you want to talk about, is a guy who was hugely influential in comedy. A lot of comics started comedy because of Richard Pryor.
Yeah.
A lot of guys took his style and sort of made it their own. And you heard, like, even Eddie Murphy's comedy.
Tons of guys, actually, yeah.
Was very much based on Richard Pryor. A lot of these guys, Martin Lawrence, a lot of this next generation of sort of urban comics
oh,
all
yeah.
followed from that tree. But the problem with it is that, you know, the guys that are doing, like, the Dane Cook style, and you've certainly known these guys.
Yeah.
Even if you don't see them working, they're in the open mics and stuff. And it's painful.
Yeah.
The guys that try to do Dane Cook, not good.
Yeah.
It's not something that really translates. It's not really something.
Hmm.
I mean, Dane gets away with it. Dane does his thing. He entertains
does,
people.
He does it well.
But to do Dane Cook without being Dane Cook is pretty lame. To kind of do that style where it's not real structured comedy. It's a lot of, you know, I don't know how to describe. How do you describe Dane Cook's style?
I don't know, but I think partly that it's hard to do the pigeonhole is a good
yeah.
thing in a way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, you know it when you see it, but it's hard
him,
to describe.
Yeah, for him doing it, maybe. It's funny that you know, the poor imitators maybe.
Because I would describe Dane Cook's style as
high energy.
It's
sure.
high energy. It's a lot of stories.
Ranting.
It's a lot of stories, and it's very animated, and a lot of yelling.
Yeah.
A lot of sort of, you know, acting out a lot of physicality.
Does have a big presence though, you know. Yeah. It seems like he's got a real energy thing going.
And but I've seen guys do this on stages, and it's just like
it just seems more like they're copying.
It's lame, yeah. It doesn't come off well, and that's the problem with Dane Cook.
Yeah,
is that you know he's even if he's okay to try to take that style and make it your own is usually ends up sucking real bad.
You know what? Not to try to sound heavy. I think it was Man Ray said, but I just always remember this quote.
Yeah,
like, you know, you'll never be original without trying to be yourself.
Yeah.
So,
but you know, that's what people.
Sometimes it's obvious when somebody's trying to copy.
But that's what people, you know, they saw Dane Cook and said, "Oh, I want to do comedy."
Yeah,
you know, they want prior. who made you want to do comedy? Was there a guy that you saw, Richard Pryor?
Yep, Pryor. And Woody Allen. Even
Woody Allen. Yeah.
There, you know what? Those are my two like heroes from when I first started and before I started. And even though they're different, they're actually not as different as people might think because they're both. I mean, when you think of Woody Allen, you think of he's Jewish culture.
Yeah.
I mean, he does it in his own way. It's different than how Larry David and Seinfeld did it. It's brilliant, but he's doing a Jewish thing when a lot of comics in the 60s you knew were Jewish, but weren't necessarily talking so much about the culture.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And Pryor, when he, if you look at Pryor, you know, on Ed Sullivan, he was really funny, but he wasn't Pryor yet.
Yeah.
He wasn't talking about comparing the black culture to white mainstream culture yet.
Yeah.
Which is pretty, but so that's why they're kind of similar. But you know what's funny? I remember seeing Richard Pryor live on Sunset Strip as a kid.
Yeah.
And not that I'm like him, but there was some sort of identifiable trait, like this vulnerable thing, or just, it's like, wow, this guy's just talking. He's not doing like setup punch or like what the Three Stooges do, who I thought were brilliant as a kid. But you know what I mean?
He's just being himself, kind of,
yet
it's still an act. It's still comedy, but it's not written. It's not scripted. Because Woody Allen was a huge influence for me too. His if you get his comedy albums from the 60s, they're very funny.
Genius,
and
man.
Really much different from his movies too. A lot of people think, well, I see Woody Allen movies and it's similar. Maybe his early movies but a little bit. But it's still a very inventive story and it's storytelling and you know very
and some,
clever.
Some of it's kind of like a combination. But I didn't mean to interrupt you. Sorry, but combination between like this super smart intellectual viewpoint and vaudeville.
Yeah, it
some
is,
of the
yeah.
stuff set up punch, which is another, I think some of the funniest comics. Are just set up punch.
Yeah.
Like those, I think those roasts, a lot of them, not all, every guy in every roast, but I think those are great. And a lot of them are just because they have to get to the point, it's quick set up punch.
Yeah.
Don't you think, man? Like, I like Jeff Ross on those a lot.
That's what I do. I mean, that's my style.
That's right.
I mean, that's
true that.
How I would describe my comedy is it's jokes, you know? It's not, I mean, I talk about my life, but it's, you know, if I tell stories, it's usually in a jokey kind of format. And I try to, you know, I had to teach the comedy class this weekend over at the Comedy Cast.
Oh, really? Cool.
Bill Bouchard was not available. And I went in there, and there were only two students in his class this semester, whatever. But, like, this one guy had a whole thing about, like, his whole act, he had good premises for jokes.
Mm-hmm.
But his whole act was a ton of like segues and internet. Who thought of this stuff? You ever see this, people? Who's the guy who thought of this thing? And it was all this like nonsense that made no difference. I said, look, dude, if it's not part of the setup or part of the punchline.
Who thought of this?
Yeah, like it was all like this, like, you know, it was kind of like bad Seinfeld. You know, Seinfeld?
Yeah,
who's the genius who thought of it? You know, I do a pretty good Seinfeld.
Remember the SNL bit where it was all these bad comics? Who was the ad wizard that came up with this?
Yeah, well, they did Seinfeld on, it was bad. Seinfeld hosted it, I think. Wasn't that the deal? He was the guest
Maybe,
host?
Maybe, yeah.
And it was Jeopardy with bad comics and sport coats. Who's the genius who came up with this idea? And he did that a lot of that. He was like, you know, I forget what he was doing. And I go, dude, listen, look, Jerry gets away with that. But that's Jerry.
Yeah, he's a great writer.
Yeah. But you just shorten everything. You know, what's important is the setup and the punchline.
Exactly.
He's trying to make like a monologue out of it. And I go, look, dude, you're just starting out. Get to the funny, you know, because everything else is just going to be noise to people. You want to, you know, if it's not part of the joke, cut it out. I was trying to tell these guys, get to the point.
Yeah.
You know, when you develop an act, then you can go up on stage and talk and use your personality to get yourself over. But you need good material when you're starting out. And if you don't have that, you know, you don't really have a lot. The good material cuts through everything. You know, that's the way I look at it.
Exactly. It's like, how many good punchlines can I fit into 5 minutes?
Yeah, I told them. I said, laughs per minute. That's what I was hitting these guys over that. I was like, yeah, go, because, you know, they type out their whole act. And I go through, well, go there and circle every time you expect people to laugh. And look how many times you got a circle on that paper. And go through and count those. And make, you know, add more of those. You know, that's how
exactly,
I
man.
Tell people how to write comedy.
Yeah, exactly.
It's tricky.
I want some... You know, one guy is like a great comic that's not as known as he probably as much as he should be, and is great with vaudeville with a sarcastic twist. Is Bob Zaney. You ever worked with Bob Zaney?
Okay, no, I know who he is. Though. I know
you
Bob.
You see him?
I've seen him. Yeah,
great comic, man. He's brilliant off the cuff. Actually, he could do like his whole act off the cuff, but he also could do an hour of, you know, one liners. But one time, there was a club, a local club. And I was just talking to them about Bob Zaney, and they had his demo cassette. It was just like an 8-minute cassette that
was
he
sent. Was it old? It's going to be old, right?
It was pretty old. Just
sending out cassettes to get work.
It was pretty funny.
Don't do that now, by the way, if you're in comedy.
That part was pretty funny. But I said, hey, I think they just gave it to me because they knew him and they'd booked him. And like, it was really funny.
Yeah.
But besides that, I counted. I'm like, let me just, out of curiosity, how many punchlines does he do per minute?
Yeah.
And there was like 60 punchlines. I mean, it was like an unbelievable
amount.
In
8 minutes, yeah.
Because everything, the setups were like so short, you know?
Yeah, they're short, yeah.
And it was just hysterical. I mean, and when you think about killing, one laugh after another.
Exactly.
You don't want to stop, you know, because you're asking the audience, hey, you know, whatever the hell it is, you know.
Who hates their job in here? Does anybody hate their job?
Yeah.
Who hates traffic?
They don't do that in the middle of killing.
Yeah, and it's kind of like
the very beginning.
I mean,
who hates traffic?
As
opposed to people who love traffic.
Anybody not like to pay their taxes? Who hates doing their taxes? Is that you guys? You hate the taxes?
That's funny, man.
You got kids? Do you love him? He's got kids.
So who are your faves when you first started?
Well, you know, Woody Allen was a huge influence on me. I was in film school. You know, I started comedy.
Yeah.
When I graduated from college, I got a film degree, and I was studying film.
At NYU?
At NYU. I didn't graduate from NYU, but I did study there for a while. I graduated from Wayne State University in Detroit, but Woody Allen was one of my the big guys that I studied. You know, I studied Stanley Kubrick, Woody Allen, John Ford.
Great.
Some of these guys in college heavily. And Woody was a guy that I wrote tons and tons of papers on and stuff in college. And, you know, in doing that, that's when I started listening to his stand-up. And I thought I wanted to be a filmmaker, really, and I kind of still do, believe it or not. But no, I thought that comedy was a good way to get my writing out there. That it was a way to, you know, doing stand up was a way to sort of get my ideas out, because I had made some films in college and that, and they were pretty good. But I wanted to sort of get my ideas out, so I thought that was a good thing. So Woody was a big influence. But the guy that I listened to, that I saw, or actually I had a CD, I heard him on Howard Stern. Then I bought his CD, and that's what made me actually want to go do it. Was Robert Schimmel.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
Schimmel.
You know Robert. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's the guy that
he's
made
great.
Me.
Yeah,
he's the
great.
Guy that when I saw him, I said, I can do that. That's what I want to do. Because Woody Allen, I didn't think I could ever do it that way. I didn't think I wasn't going to be good like that. He's just too, there's something about him that.
It's too unique.
But I thought that Robert Schimmel sort of fit my personality a little bit. I liked what he was doing.
Just
and, you know,
a little darker.
Yeah, I mean, you know my act. I'm not a clone of Robert Schimmel in any way.
No,
but he was an influence, and I think if you know Robert Schimmel, I think you can see his influence
on
my comedy. And, you know, and I've told him that, too. And,
You get to meet him?
I met him a couple times, and he kind of said,
cool?
Thanks. You know, he talked to me for about 10 seconds, but I like Robert. He's a nice guy.
He was nice? Oh,
yeah, Robert's
cool.
A nice guy. And
did you work with him?
I didn't work with him, but I attended his shows once at Chaplin's. And I think two other times at Comedy Castle. And I got him. He wrote a book about having cancer and surviving it. And he signed that for me. And, very nice guy. I mean, you know, I was very new to... I think I was doing comedy for about 3 months, doing open mics. And he came to Chaplin's. And I went by myself to Chaplin's, which is a club I'd never even been in my life. Because they don't... If you're a new comic, you don't play at Chaplin's, right?
Yeah.
Right. Which you should, because it's a shithole. But I see Robert, and... I said, I'm going to talk to Robert. Where is he? I'm going to go find him. And he was just hanging around. And that was inspirational because I said, look, I've been doing comedy for 3 months. And, you know, I'm inspired by you. And one day I hope I can work with you and stuff. And, you know, I asked a guy who books Robert, a guy who, like, runs a club. And I said, look, if you book Robert Schimmel, can you book me with him?
Really?
Look, I've always wanted to work with Robert. It's like my dream from starting out.
Would it?
And he said, Robert brings a guy with him.
You want to know something? For a while, he was...
And I said, okay.
For a while, he was bringing John Uber on.
Yeah, and John's a friend of mine, and I've talked to John about Robert a lot. So
John's a really nice guy.
John, in fact, said he was, I'll tell Robert, you know, because, you know, John thinks I'm funny, and John and I are buddies and stuff. And John said, oh, I'll tell Robert, you know, that you really like him and stuff. So I'm sure.
Cool, man.
I'm sure he, you know, it's gotten back to him, even if not for me. So
is Schimmel out in New York or
he's
LA?
He's out of LA now, yeah. He's originally from New York, but yeah. He started comedy in LA. And you know what he did? You know what his sort of got into the business is he was one of the original writers on In Living Color.
Really?
Yeah, the Wayans brothers really gave him his break. They knew him from the clubs.
Wow.
I'm not sure if it was Damon or Keenan, but they knew him from doing comedy clubs in LA. And when they started that show, they said, well, we got this funny Jewish guy, Robert, and we'll kind of add him.
He's a great writer.
And
yeah.
He wrote a lot of those famous In Living Color sketches.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so that's kind of where he got his break at. You know, he was doing comedy, and then he got on there. And
that's awesome.
And that's a cool thing, because you wouldn't think that, like, the Wayans brothers and Robert Schimmel would somehow have a connection, but, you know,
you know
happens.
What? Yeah.
That show blew up, and he kind of, you know.
Yeah. Well, actually, you know, in comedy, you meet all kinds.
Yeah.
Most of the comics, I mean, I'm guessing you feel the same way. Most of the comics, you know, are cool. You know,
yeah.
I don't meet anybody where you're very, you know, very seldom when you walk away and you go, God, that guy was a fucking
asshole.
Yeah,
there are assholes.
Yeah. But you know what? It seems like there's, I don't know, most of the comics I don't have a problem. But actually,
I'll tell you who the more assholes are in comedy. I'm not going
to
mention
anybody.
Well, that's okay. But I found, like, we're talking about Robert Schimmel, and he was nice to me, and a lot of these, you know, fame. And you've worked with Robert Klein, I know, and some big names in comedy. I found that those guys are usually pretty nice. Louis Black, I worked with him once. Very super nice guy. You know, real nice guy to me. Greg Giraldo, nice guy. You got to hang out with him and stuff.
Cool.
I worked with him. But I found that some of these guys who are, like, kind of like Midwest club headliners.
Oh, that didn't. Quite
that aren't famous like from television or radio, but might be, you know, they think they're a big shit in clubs.
Bigger, yeah.
And those guys can be assholes. Those guys have an attitude that is completely undeserved, that they have no business having. But some of those guys think they're the greatest thing since sliced bread, and they're very much, you know, because you have these guys you open for them and they tell you what you can and can't do in your act.
Yeah.
And they do this. And one story I might have told this on the radio before, but, I was working a show. I'm not even going to say the guy, but then we had a middle act. I was the MC. This is pretty new in my career. We had an MC, and the middle act was getting big. He was kind of like very, very good middle and really headline places, but they had him in as the middle that week. And he was going out to do Jay Leno, actually, is what the gig was.
Mm.
He had Jay Leno coming up in like a month. He had gotten his agent got him in with Leno. And he was going to do, you know, 6 minutes on there, which is a big deal for any comic, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
And he was the middle. Then we had the headliner, who, again, was one of these kind of Midwest kind of club guy. No TV credits, not really famous. You know, maybe he was on some local radio show or something. And he sold a CD or something, you know. But so this middle guy does his set, kills, you know. And I think the headliner was having a hard time following him all week, you know. Because it was a style difference. And the headliner was fine, you know, he had a good act. But he definitely had an attitude about stuff. You know, he would show up late. He was one of those guys. He wouldn't watch me. He would just kind of show up, not talk to anybody. So the middle guy does his act. And I'm getting ready to close the show. Like, the headliner's going to come off. The middle says to me, he says, hey, Joel, forgot to mention to the audience before I left that I was going to be doing the Tonight Show in a month. So could you mention my Tonight Show appearance at the end? I said, sure, you know. Because, you know, if the middle selling a CD, I'll mention that at the end of the show. So I go up and give it up for your headliner, so-and-so, did a great job for you. And your middle act, let's not forget, I got to remind you, he wants you to remind you that he's going to be doing Jay Leno next month, so make sure to check him out on there. And I'm Joel Fragmenti. Thanks for coming out. Good night. I get off the stage. The headliner is waiting for me backstage. Puts his finger, starts poking me in the chest and going, don't promote his shit at the end of my show. It's my show.
Oh, my God.
And he was just a dick. Oh. I mean, just the biggest asshole.
I knew
asshole.
You were going to say that, but it's...
And it was just like, you know, what an egotistical fuck.
It's
you
not
know?
Your fault that he didn't get the Tonight Show.
Yeah, I mean, he's basically jealous that this middle, number one, was funnier than him. And two, that he had the Tonight Show coming up. And look, I was a green comic. And, you know, my thing was like, I can't tell the middle, hey, I can't promote your stuff, because then I seem like an asshole. My job is to promote what the other guys are doing.
Yeah.
to get these guys over. And sure, if the middle mentions it, then the headliner can take it up with him. So I know why he's upset, but what an insecure dick.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah, don't take it out on you.
Yeah, he takes it out on me. You know, so fuck that guy. I would say his name.
Was it the last show of the week?
I don't know if it was the last show of the week.
I remember, like, did you have to go out there again and with that dilemma?
It was one of those places you do, like, six shows a week. So we had done three or four probably by that point. And I don't know, he just started, you know, trying to bully me. And it was like, you know, come on, man.
You know, luckily, I haven't had that.
And I didn't even do anything wrong. I did my job, essentially. But it was just his ego. Because I get it if you fuck up. If you fuck up as an MC or whatever, and, you know, you say the wrong guy's name like that.
Yeah,
gets pissed, or you blow some guy's intro, or somehow you don't. You know, some guys want their T-shirts or their CDs promoted. And if you don't do that, I could see people getting upset with you because that's kind of part of your job. But don't get pissed about some guy's got a better credit than you. you know?
Exactly. And don't get pissed at you.
Or if I went out there and I between the acts, I did some, you know, I got the crowd all riled up, or I started doing birthdays or something before the headliner. You know, that's stuff that I could see people being upset about. But I did none of that. It was just a dick. It was at the end of the show. He'd already done a set.
Oh, God. Yeah,
what a cocksucker.
So now they're not going to buy a CD or something.
But well, so those guys I've had. So those guys I've had problems with, you know.
Guys
like that. Guys telling you what you can and can't do. Don't be dirty. Oh, I got a bit about this. Don't talk about that.
Yeah,
I knew a bit about that.
A couple of times.
Yeah.
I've had more people that are pretty cool, though, with stuff like that. Well, I almost wonder, like, you know, you could tell me if you want to, but I don't want to be doing a bit that's the same bit.
Yeah, you don't want to do the same bit.
You know, it's like, if you're going to do the same topic. There's nothing.
It's inevitable.
Yeah.
At some point, the key
to doing good comedy isn't even doing a topic no one's
heard
of. It's doing a unique way to look at it.
Yeah, it's
somewhat common topic.
Yeah, I always tell that. Like, people will say, well, somebody ripped me off because they're talking about, you know.
You're talking about dating. You can't both talk about dating. Like,
yeah. I always tell people that. I go, look, you can do the same setup for a joke.
Yeah.
That's not even stealing. If you steal the punchline, that's theft.
Yeah.
But if you're like, you know what I mean?
It's not going to matter.
Yeah, I mean,
unless it's something that's.
I talked about dating a fat chick. You can't talk about dating a fat chick. Yeah, you can.
Yeah, I did that. You know, Redskins bit. You probably heard me do the
Redskins. Oh, yeah.
The Washington Redskins.
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
racist.
Yeah.
And there's another guy who's a buddy of both of ours who has a completely different Redskins bit. And it's fine. No, I mean, but the whole thing was I was working with him recently and I did mine, you know, and I didn't know he did his when I wrote mine, and he didn't know. He did it first in all honesty, but
who was going up first on stage?
I went up first this one night. Okay. And, he followed and he did his, and he goes, Ben was talking about the Redskins, and then he just went into his version. He said, yeah, that's funny. Plus, and he goes into his version, and it still worked really well
because
it was so different.
Uh-huh.
You know, the punchline, it was exactly like what you said, totally different punchline.
Yeah.
But I had a guy once, the opposite story of yours. I didn't get pissed, but this other comic who, real nice guy, I just met him, and he was the MC. And he comes out and he goes, blah, 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 ladies and gentlemen, let's give it up, Bruce Constantine.
Oh,
so I walk up, and on stage, off the mic, I said, hey, man, my name is Ben. He goes, don't say nothing. I go, don't say nothing. So I go,
I am Bruce Constantine.
I go, let's give it up for. And I just said his name wrong.
Yeah, okay, that's funny sometimes.
Let's give it up for my good friend.
Oh, God.
Blah, blah. I just did his name
You know what,
wrong.
I tell guys.
I'm Bruce. Like, I'm going to go to my website, BruceConstantine.com.
Sell it to Bruce Constantine.
Yeah, like, you're right, I wouldn't want to. I got to help him out there. I got to get his back and just go with the wrong name.
Because God forbid you embarrass your MC.
Yeah, exactly.
That guy. Yeah, that's
pretty
funny. Yeah, I always tell guys when you're MCing, and this is, I'll do this at the palace, you write everything down. Whether you need it or not.
Yeah, just a matter of respect.
Just have it in front of you, just in case. Like, it shows respect that I'm going to write this down so I know I'm getting it right.
Exactly.
You know, because you want to know that a guy's taking it seriously and is getting it right. And I don't think the audience cares if when you're doing an intro, if you have a card in front of you. He's like, well, I don't want to use a card. It looks like I don't know what I'm doing.
And
I say, No, but people, I've told these people, I said, why don't you write it down? He said, well, I want to look like I know what I'm doing. And I said, if you want to look like you know what you're doing, read it off a card, because that shows that at least you know what you have to say.
Yeah.
If you're not going to read it off the card, then you're just winging it. And, you know, when you're winging it, that's when you get shit wrong. That's my advice.
No, you're right. Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of annoying to other comics when you tell, when they come up to you and
you
MC,
tell them something. Yeah.
Well, MC says, oh, what's your intro? And then I tell them.
Yeah.
And it's not like it's some long War and Peace thing. It's like, you know, 2-3 things.
Yeah.
And then they get it wrong. You could tell they're on stage forgetting.
Yeah. And it's like, yeah, how are you forgetting it? Write it down. It's so silly that people do this. Here's my intro. He's from Detroit. He's been heard on the Howard Stern Show. That's what I tell people to say.
Yeah. Wow. I got like a couple festivals in XM. I mean, okay. I got more.
Yeah,
shit,
but I mean, yeah, you could do more.
Yeah, you don't want to bump.
But that's all you really need. You know, I do this. And then as I mentioned a couple other things while I'm on stage. I mentioned Insane Clown Posse and some of this other stuff I do on stage. But, you know, when I'm on stage, it's from Detroit, he's, you know, and then my name, you know, people, I'm sure people mispronounce Constantine. And
oh,
stuff.
Yeah, that's a main thing.
Fragamenti is a thing, you know, people get wrong. You know,
it's a good name, though.
Well, it's unique, so.
Yeah, I like it. But, yeah, the opposite of the asshole comic story, like, and like you were talking about, trying to work with Schimmel, I got to work with Louis Black.
Yeah.
That was like the best. I mean,
yeah, I opened for him. I was very new to the thing, and I think it was 3 years in. I opened for him. It was a good gig.
Yeah, I was early on for me too, and I heard he was a really down to earth guy, mm-hmm. and I was like, hey Lou, I'm gonna go out for a beer with it was me and two other comics like Greg Walker and Goldberg.
Okay, yeah,
and
I know those guys.
Yeah, and he goes, I said, you want to go with us? We're in Royal Oak.
Yeah.
You want to go to local. You know, bar, restaurant uh-huh. area. He's like, you know, sure, if you don't mind giving me a ride back to the hotel. So he, like, hung out with us all night.
Yeah.
Two nights in a row. He's the greatest guy ever.
Yeah, Louis is a good guy. I always liked him, so.
And I ran into him a few years later in Boston.
Oh, yeah?
They had the comedy festival. At the end of the festival, they had, like, a rap party. All the comics were inspired, hanging out. And he walks by me, and I went up. I said, hey, Lou, how you doing? I go, you know, you and I worked together a while ago. He goes, Royal Oak, Michigan, right? And I go, yeah. He goes, what are you doing here? I said, well, I'm here for the comedy festival.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're still doing it, you fuck.
Yeah.
I thought it was awesome that he remembered.
I think I took a picture with him, and right as I think somebody was taking the picture, that he says, he goes, I don't want to be on your fucking dumb website, you know? Like, I mean, he's just taking the pictures. He's being sarcastic.
Yeah. You know, he's nice.
He's being nice about it. He's, I'm going to be on your fucking website.
He's the most brilliant guy, you know, no offense to you or any of our friends.
Oh, I'm much more brilliant than Louis Black. I'm so offended.
He's the most brilliant guy, a comic I've met off stage. I mean, he's probably the most brilliant, you know, you think of your whole life, you think, who are the most brilliant people I know?
Yeah.
Usually like two or three at anything. And this guy is, what a genius. I mean,
he's great. I love Lewis. He's
just everything out of his mouth is hilarious.
Yeah, he's
it's just so, I never met anybody
he's got
that
a thing where
like
he,
that.
But I remember reading an interview with him where he talked about how when he started out, he wasn't like that.
Really?
Like he was doing jokey jokes. He was doing jokes about his sex life.
I wonder what he's like.
And
offstage,
he sort of got into a thing where he can be him. Like, I remember him telling you this. He wasn't angry. His old act.
Yeah.
But he was very mellow. And then somebody, a guy named Dan Ballard.
That's right.
Know,
out of Saginaw,
and Dan
right?
told him, why don't you be angry? You seem like an angry guy off stage. Why don't you be angry on stage?
What?
And he sort of changed his act to a different thing. And then that's when he really connected. So.
Yeah. I heard that story from him.
Yeah.
And he said, actually, he was 10 years.
Yeah, he was
doing
in it.
Full time comedy as a pro before he started yelling.
Right.
It's amazing.
Yeah, he said in his interview, he said he used to do jokes about his sex life. And he said it was funny. People would laugh, but it wasn't what he does now. Where, you know, the way he does stuff is whatever he's saying, when he's angry about it,
he really
it makes
is.
It funny. And he's really, it's genuine.
It's
and
him.
It, yeah. Like, he's not bullshitting when he's up there.
No,
you know?
Exactly.
He's giving a real opinion. In a funny
and
way,
he's
and it's, it makes it good.
Well, yeah, that's right. He said that he was like yelling about something in real life.
Yeah,
and Ballard said, you know, this is you. You should do this in your act, like you were saying. But, which is interesting, just kind of goes to show that sometimes you could do something and it takes a while. To really figure it out or figure out.
What you've been
makes
doing
you
it that
great.
Long. I've been doing it that long, and you know.
Yeah. Don't you feel like, I mean, honestly, I feel like every year. I feel like I'm better now than a year ago.
Absolutely.
And it, you know,
yeah, I think it's gotten easier for me in terms of doing it, and in terms of, I mean, you still run into these, like, you know, we talked about these shitty clubs where you go,
still eat it once
and you don't
want
to do it, and you eat it. But, you know, I don't think anybody who's a good comic doesn't eat it. You know, these guys, every show is great. And you ever tell the guys, like, I've done this too. And there's certain guys, you know, you go like, oh man, I went to this town. You do that one, and oh, it was the worst show ever. It was just, the people were awful. I did it, and I killed. And guys will tell you that, and it's like, shut the fuck up. You're full of shit. Guys just do that. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah, occasionally. Oh, it was great.
It's like, you know, shut up.
That's hilarious.
You stupid fuck. But I'm honest about how I do.
Yeah,
you know
too,
what I
man.
Mean? Like I said, I had the show this weekend, which is tremendous. You know, the Palace should be a great experience unless somehow I fucked that up.
But no, it'll be good, man.
If I just do my thing, the Palace is going to be great. You'll have a good set,
yeah,
I'm sure.
Yeah, it'll be great. It'll be a lot
and,
of fun.
And, you know, whatever. You do your thing, and hopefully it'll catch on. Hopefully fans of our show, my show, will come out this weekend and see us. So.
Absolutely.
All right. Let's just wrap it up here. Ben, I want to thank you. Anything you want to plug or anything?
Well, just, you know, obviously the Palace thing, and then also one more time, the Jingle Jokes at the Comedy Castle. It's
yeah.
a fundraiser with Dick Curtin and Seven Comics for Children's Hospital. And
okay.
Then January 2nd in the Ann Arbor Comedy Showcase.
Okay, and then you've got, what do you got, Facebook, anything like that? You want people to find you on there?
Yeah, Ben Constantine, spelled with a K. No E at the end, K-O,
I'll put it up on my website. I know how to
thanks,
spell
man.
It.
Thanks.
So I'm going to link it to you there.
I also have benconcomedy.com, okay. benkoncomedy.com.
All right.
But Facebook, I do most of the networking.
Okay. So catch Ben on Facebook. Once again, if you want to come out to the Laugh-A-Palooza this weekend, the 19th, there's discount ticket. There's a link to that on joelradio.net. All the information you need is up there. So definitely come out this weekend. It's going to be a good time. I can't wait for it. It's certainly going to be one of the highlights of my year, I guess. Maybe my career, if it goes well.
It'll go well.
If not, then I'm probably going to be upset. I don't know. But it'll be good. I want everybody to come out. Thanks a lot, Ben.
Thanks, Joel. That's
happy Hanukkah as well. I didn't
thanks,
wish you happy
man.
Hanukkah. I know where.
Happy, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to me. Thank you. And we will catch you next time on JoelRadio.net, everybody. Good night.